Today, again, being the 24th day of November 2024, I want us to look at this final section of lesson number 13. It's entitled, The End Time Events. End Time Events. And again, as we look at this and we think about Thanksgiving, we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving on this Thursday. But you know what? In reality, Thanksgiving is a day that we can celebrate all year long for all that God has done for us. And I want to go back just a moment to Revelation chapter number 20. And last week I touched on this, on the great white throne judgment. In Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse number 11, the last and the final judgment for sin is seen here in these passages. And the Bible said here, and I saw a great white throne. Now imagine this in your mind today. We're talking about in heaven. The saints of God are gathered all around in the grandstands of heaven. And there's a great white throne, the judgment throne of God. The Bible said, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was no place, or there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. When you think about that scene in heaven, man, it just puts chills up my back. Because on that day, those who have denied Christ, those who have rejected Christ, those who have turned him away, snubbed their noses, cursed his name, and done all manner of evil against those who know him as their Savior, they're going to stand before that great God that they've denied and said that he didn't exist. They're going to find out that he really does exist. If they had died physically, they knew it then. The moment they died and they lift up their eyes in hell, being in torment, they came to find out that God was real. And now they stand before him. And the Bible said here in verse number 14, and death, that word death there, referring to the body. Those bodies were in the graves or wherever they may have been, the physical body. And hell, referring here to where the soul was at. They are cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And folks, you think about this a minute. And I think Pastor Martin mentioned this. I can't remember if it was him or Pastor Howell mentioned this in revivals this past week. If you're born only once in this life, you're going to die twice, physically and spiritually, separated from God forever. But you know what? If we are born twice, we may only have to die once. And I'm praying that I don't have to even die once. I'm not looking for the undertaker, honey. I'm looking for the upper taker today. Amen. And I'm longing for him to come and just take us all at one shot. Man, just take us home to be with him. But you think about it. If you're born twice, once of this old body, once of the flesh, but the second time of the spirit, we're going to get to be with him forever and forever and forever. And never have to die. Never have to worry about being separated from God. These folks will be separated from God forever. Can you imagine? I cannot imagine in my mind. And it's here when Christ will pass that final judgment upon all those through the ages who have denied and rejected God's way of salvation. And they are sentenced forever to an eternal death and separation from God. I got home last night and we were sitting down. We watched a thing on the History Channel. I think it was the History Channel. About some mummies that they dug up. 2,600 years ago they were buried. And this archaeologist found this shaft. Went down into the earth. Over 100 feet down into the deserts of Egypt. And they found all of these crypts and all these places where they found these mummies that had died, or these people that died and been mummified and been left there. I think it traced back to 600 BC. And they had on their caskets, on their sarcophagus and all this stuff, symbols and emblems carved, thinking that that was going to get them into the afterlife and it was going to go past all the demons and get them through all those things. And I thought to myself, for 2,600 years, those folks have been in hell. They didn't know the Savior. They didn't trust God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Israel. If they rejected that God, and from what we saw on that, most of them did that, and they served after other gods, they had pictures and things carved into their stones and things like that to get them into the afterlife. And all through the years, people have been putting things out there thinking, this is going to get me into heaven. And then to find out when they stand before God, all their works were in vain. Folks, let me tell you something. We've got so much to be thankful for today if we know Christ as our Savior. I think back so many times as a little boy and when I went to the Moravian church and they didn't give me the gospel that saved my soul. They gave me works that I could do and hopefully my good deeds would outweigh my bad deeds and, you know, when I died that, you know, I'd be able to go to heaven. I got sprinkled there, you know. I even got baptized in a Baptist church. But nobody ever asked me if I was saved. But one day I came to know Christ as my Savior. And man, what a day. What a day. And when I think about this day, when all those people are going to stand before God at that white throne judgment, it makes me want to stay faithful for the Lord Jesus today. Thursday night, we had soul winning. And man, we had a great night. Folks out soul winning and telling folks about Christ. I haven't gotten all the counts yet, but there's between 12 and 15 folks that got saved just Thursday. I mean, God was good. Brother Howell was with Buck and Mark and he and Brother Ted, I think, went out. Y'all went to the nursing home, right? And the ladies had already been out there, and they had, what, three saved? Y'all have three saved at the nursing home? Three or four? Four saved there? And y'all had another three, right? Y'all had another three Thursday night after they got out. And I mean, the fields are white unto harvest, folks. But let me tell you what the problem is. The laborers are few. And folks, listen to me today. When I think about these people are going to stand before God one day, they're going to stand before Him and they're going to hear Him say, "Depart from me in the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Depart from me, for I never knew you." What a sad day that's going to be. And folks, that's why you and I today need to be serving the Lord and telling folks about Christ today. Listen, you plant the seed, okay? Not every seed that is put into the ground is going to come up, but most of them will. And you know what? If you don't plant, you can't expect anything to come up. Many churches today are wondering why their numbers are going down and why they're not seeing any growth and why they're not experiencing the blessings of God. Well, that'd be like telling a farmer, listen, you expect a good crop, but don't worry about planting any seed this year. You know, All you're going to get is a crop of weeds. And some of those won't grow real well in the heat in the summertime. And listen to me today, folks. We need to be busy about our Father's business. We're coming up on the end of this year. And I want to start the new year right. Amen. On fire for God. Somebody asked me if I was going to retire anytime soon. I said, man, I don't want to retire. I want to refire. I just want to keep on going for the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is one of those passages in the Scripture that reminds me that what we do for the Lord really does make an eternal difference. Plant the seed. Tell folks about Christ. I want you to look at verse 15 of that chapter. Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse 15. Verse 14 said, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And look at this, verse 15. And whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody, whoever they were. Do you realize that that's the same whosoever that God so loved the world and sent His Son Jesus to die for? That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life? Do you realize that that's the same whosoever that Paul wrote about in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, where he said that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? It's the same whosoever. But these are the ones that chose not to trust Christ, to put their faith and trust in God. And whosoever, whoever you are, whether you're small and great, whether you're rich or you're poor, doesn't matter the color of your skin, it doesn't matter what country you grew up in, doesn't matter what your past, your present was, it doesn't matter. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life. It does not say whosoever was not found written on the church roll, or whosoever was not baptized, or whoever, you know, whatever you want to call it. But the point here is, whosoever was not found written in the book of life, if they were not born again, if they were not saved, look at what it said. They were cast into the lake of fire. Cast into the lake of fire. It's like you pick up something and just cast it into the lake of fire. Can you imagine the tears and the wailing and the screaming that's going to be heard? But I was a good person. That preacher told me. Well, my neighbor, they said they were Christians. They never told me about Christ. Folks, it's going to be a sad day. It's a sad day for those who are lost because it's eternally too late now. It's too late for them to be saved. But it's also a sad day for those that saved, because we're never going to have another opportunity to go out and tell anyone else about Christ. And that's why we need to take the opportunity now. I would encourage you, sign up for the Soul Winners Club. We'll be starting back up on January the 15th. Listen, get a burden for folks around you. The signs of our Lord's coming again are all around us today. And I want to be found serving Him and living for Him. That great white throne judgment is going to be a terrible day. But I want you to look at this. In Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse number 1, we see the new heaven and the new earth. Now, all sin and all wickedness has been done away with. The devil has cast into the lake of fire. He's not going to be bothering anybody anymore. What a day that's going to be. And you think about this today. God now is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. I stood out the other day and I looked at the snow as it came down. And our yard, I bet we got probably 2 inches in our yard and on our roof and everything else. My solar panels were covered up. My roof was covered up. All you could see was just the smoke coming out of our chimney, all right, from the fire, the wood stoves. And I thought, what Isaiah said, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, something that sticks out in the eyes of God, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Never to be seen anymore. Never to be seen anymore. And a new heaven, a new earth, as beautiful as that was, It's still got a curse of sin upon it. But can you imagine what this earth is going to look like without the curse of sin? Can you imagine what the new heaven and new earth is going to look like? I can't imagine in my mind. Pure and fair, beauty beyond any compare. And it talks about this here in Revelation chapter 21, verse number 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. In verse 2 and 3, John said, John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And the Bible said there, and John heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with him, with them, and be their God. And look at verse number 4. The Bible said, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Thank God for that. For the former things are passed away. I want you to look at a little phrase here he was talking about. He said, there will be no more tears. There are a lot of tears on this earth today. We cry tears for loved ones when we see them die and pass away. We have tears for those that used to serve the Lord and don't serve the Lord anymore, and it grieves our heart. We have tears for all kinds of things. But here, God's going to wipe away all those tears in heaven. Why would there have been tears in heaven? Think about it just a moment. Why? And I'll tell you why. I think it's because of all that the saints of God are going to see as we stand in the grandstands of heaven and we see that white throne judgment of God and all those folks cast into hell. And we hear their cries, no one told me. Oh man, I wish, Lord, just give me one more opportunity. And God says, there are no more opportunities. And we see those folks cast into hell. There'll be a lot of tears in heaven. But you know what? It's the hand of God that's going to wipe those things away. And the Bible said here that he's going to wipe them all away. His mercy, his compassion is going to rid us of all those past things. And I think, man, what a great Savior we have today. As we think about it, this Thanksgiving season, we need to take time to thank God for his goodness and mercy. Now look at verses 5 through 8. God himself here makes all things new. I can't imagine what the first heaven looked like as God stepped out on eternity and just spoke, let there be. And it all came into existence. I can't imagine the beauty of the earth when Adam was on this earth before he chose to disobey God. I can't imagine all the beauty. But you know what? I believe that beauty is going to be far beyond even that, this new heaven and this new earth. And John writes here in verse number 8 that all those that were fearful of what others might say if they received Christ, and all those who would not believe God's word, and all those who chose to live in acts of abomination and rebellion, rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, they continued to live to murder and to kill and whoremongering going on and sorceries and drugs and idolatries and lies. All those who rejected truth and believed the lies of Satan. Look what Jesus said here. They shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know what? It's going to be a sad day when those folks realize what they've turned away and the reward that they're going to receive for the rejection of Christ. And folks, that ought to give you and me a burden to reach them today. This is our job. This is our duty as born-again believers, to reach folks with the message of the gospel before it is eternally too late for them. And then we have John's descriptions of what things will be like in the presence of the Lord. In verses 9 through 27, look at it. Here in these chapters, he talks about it. And let's just look at just a few of them here. In chapter 21, verse number 9, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, the last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. It had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." You know what that tells me? That these guys today that claim to be apostles and all this other stuff, there's only 12. The Bible says there's only 12. It's proof right here. And look what else it said. "And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square. That means it's the same measurement all the way around. 4 walls. "And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. Now 1 furlong is 220 yards or 660 feet. 1 mile, okay, is 5,280 feet. 1 mile is 5,280 feet. 12,000 furlongs. If you do the math, the size of that city is 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep, 1,500 miles high. Can you imagine the size of that city? Folks, and today what I would say to you today is this, and yet there is room. You can't fill it up. Man, can you imagine the size, the beauty of that city? "The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. The city was pure gold, like unto clear glass." Man, can you imagine? So pure that the gold is clear. On some of the Air Force jets and things like that, they fly up in very high altitudes. And the canopies are coated with gold. Okay, they're coated with gold so the radiation of the sun and things like that don't bother those pilots. It's a clear painting of, I guess it's what you'd call it, of the glass. It's put into the glass and things like that for that canopy. They learned something from the Word of God, I think. Okay? But it's pure. "The foundations of the wall of that city were garnished with all manner of precious stones." And it lists all these precious stones. And look at it, verse 21, "The 12 gates were 12 pearls." Can you imagine 12 gates, 12 pearls? Wouldn't you like to see the size of that oyster, amen? Good night. "Every several gate was 1 pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein." What? There's not going to be a church there? Listen, he explains. "I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." In other words, no matter where you go in heaven, the Lord's there. Amen? He's there. You're going to get to see Him. You're going to get to be with Him. "The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Man, can you imagine that? No more day, or no more night, because it's all day. No more night, no more fog, you know, to scare you at night. No more things running around in the bushes at night, and you don't know what they are because you can't see them. The glory of God is going to light that place up. I just can't fathom it in my mind. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. No night. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. No wonder Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's not by being a Baptist or a Moravian or a Lutheran or a Catholic or a Presbyterian or a Methodist or anything else you want to name. You must be born again. And then we look at chapter 22 and look at verses 1 through 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. Can you imagine the first time you see the face of our Savior? Man, I'll have to have a new body. I'll just have a shouting spell, I tell you. I can't imagine what it's going to be like to see the one who loved me and gave himself for me, who died for me, who arose again for me, that I might live with him forever. We're going to see his face, folks. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And again, look at what it said. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Wow. Think about that today. Now, the remaining verses of chapter 22. The Lord informs all that read this book. When you read this book, look what he said here, beginning of verse number 6. He says, I want you to know something. The world may have said the Bible is not true. The devil's crowd said it's no good. You don't need it. It's not real. It's false. It's made up. It's just papers that were written by men. But look what the Bible said. God said unto him, he said, these sayings are faithful and true. These things are faithful and true. And look at this. All these things are indeed the things which must shortly be done. In other words, folks, the day is coming. The day is coming when all of this is going to take place. And we need to be serving and telling folks about Christ while we can. Look what else it said, verses 7 through 16. We see the blessings that follow upon all those who read this book of the Word of God and believe its words. Look at verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And look at this word again. We looked at it just a moment ago. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You don't have to pay penance to get to heaven. Amen. Amen. Thank God. I'm too poor to get to heaven. Listen, the Bible said, let him, whosoever will, take of the water of life freely. And then look at the warning that God gives in verses 18 and 19. And that warning is to not change the Word of God. Don't change the Word or the things that He has written in this book. And John closes his letter here to the churches by making two great statements. I want you to see this. Number one, verse 20, that Jesus is indeed coming again. And we as Christians should be looking forward to His coming. Look what he said. He which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. And then John writes, even so, Lord Jesus. He said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. He's looking forward to the day. You and I should look forward to the day. Not to get out of our duties and responsibilities, but because we have fulfilled our duty and responsibility unto the Lord. And we can stand before Him and hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But then look at verse number 21. He states the fact that the grace of God is with those who trust Him and who know Him as their Savior. Look at it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Folks, you'll never go on this earth as a child of God. Listen to me. First pastor told me this. He said, the grace of God is what you need. And he reminded me of this thing. He said, the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God will not keep you. Now think about that. The will of God will not lead you where the grace of God will not keep you. And folks, God's grace has been promised unto each of us today. Amen. What a way. At the end of my Bible here, at the end of verse 21, underneath it, it has two words written. And I'm assuming the translators wrote this in there. And it says, the end. Does it say that in your Bible? No? Okay. Whoever wrote it here in my Bible says, the end. And I wrote in here, I just wrote a little note in here. Or is it only the beginning? Doesn't matter which it is, He's there. He's the beginning and He's the ending. He's the first and the last. He's in charge of it all. Now, we've gone through in these 13 lessons, and it's taken us since February to do this. Okay? But I want to just give you just a little review of the New Testament, just a moment. And I want you to think about what God has done and why this book ought to be important to you today. Think about it just a minute. The New Testament highlights and it describes the promised coming of Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. It lets us know that He is coming. The Old Testament scripture said a Savior is coming. The Messiah is coming. And guess what? He came just as He said. The New Testament says He's coming again. As the Lion of the tribe of Judah, He's coming again. And the four Gospels give us the story of His first coming. They remind us of His birth, His earthly life, His ministry, His sacrificial death, His burial, His resurrection again. It tells us about all those things. The book of Acts details how the church's mission is to reach out and to evangelize the world, beginning right where they were, right there in Jerusalem, and then to spread out to Judea and then Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. If they had not been faithful to do what they did, you and I would not know about Christ today. Now, my question would be to you and me today is, if that applied to them, does it not also apply to us? Don't we need to be found faithful so that we can reach our Jerusalem, Westminster, Carroll County, okay, state of Maryland, the USA, and all the rest of the world? Listen, every place, the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, they give us the proper guidance and the proper qualifications for leaders in our churches. It shows us how that we're to live for God, and it gives the qualifications to those men desiring to be pastors and deacons. The epistle of the Romans, it lays it out, and it lays it out clearly, God's plan of salvation to every man, woman, boy, and girl. It lays it out so simple and easy. Paul writes also in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, as well as the book of Galatians, he writes there for us to know how to deal with problems. Because guess what? If we live in this life, we're going to have problems. We're going to have issues. We're going to have things that come up to tempt us to do wrong. And those books tell us how to live and how to live victoriously with problems that arise within the church. Then Paul's prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, the book of Philemon, the general epistles of James and 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and Jude, they all serve to teach the child of God how to live this new life in Christ. He shows us not only how to deal with the issues, but he shows us how now we're to live for the Lord now that we're saved. The book of Hebrews, it was written to the Hebrews so that they wouldn't continue to be Hebrews, but to be Christians, saints of God, servers of the Lord God who had served them. The book of Hebrews sheds light upon what Christ Jesus accomplished as our great high priest. He's our great high priest. You don't ever have to replace him. He's not got a sniffle. He's not sick. He's got no plan to resign. He's going to reign forever and forever. Amen. He's going to reign forever. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, as well as the book of Revelation. Then they teach us how to prepare for what the future holds. And folks, preparation is the things that we do before something else happens. This week, we got to clean bathrooms. We got to clean, put new sheets on the guest room beds and things like that. We got family coming in for Thanksgiving. I'm looking forward to that. They're going to be back with us for Sunday school next Sunday. You're going to get to meet my grandkids. Man, my son-in-law, my daughter, they'll all be here. Man, we're looking forward to it, but there are preparations. We got two turkeys and a ham and some sweet potato casserole and potatoes and corn and all kinds of stuff to prepare for when they get here, okay? We're making preparations for that day. It's going to be a great day. But you and I, as children of God, we need to be making preparations for that day. We need to be telling everybody. We need to be laying up treasure in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, where thieves can't break through and steal, so that we can stand before Him and know that we've done what we ought to do for the Savior that loved us and gave Himself for us. Listen, all these books, from cover to cover, they are there to help us, to lead us, to guide us, to teach us, to prepare us for the day when we stand before God. Now my question is, how are you going to stand before God today? Man, as we finalize this year of 2024, the next couple of weeks, we need to be thinking about the future. How are we going to stand before God? What's going to be important? You know what? It's not going to matter if Trump or Biden or Harris or whoever won the election when we stand before God. That's not what's going to matter. What's going to matter is how many people are there because we told them, or how many people are not there because we refuse to tell them. And folks, we need to get prepared for that. All these books serve to prepare the child of God for what is on God's timeline and the plan that God's got. And folks, if this book doesn't mean something to you, it ought to today. It's your B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. Okay? That's what it is. We need to hide its words in our heart that we might not sin against Him. And folks, as we look for the Savior to come, let's look knowing that we've done what He said that we ought to be doing. Amen? Next Sunday morning, December the 1st, we're going to begin a new series of lessons. And it's entitled, Walking Wisely in a Foolish World. Now, about 10 years ago, I think I taught this lesson in here. I think about 10 years ago, I taught some of this lesson in here. But I think with what we're going to be seeing in the new coming year, we need to be learning how to walk wisely in a foolish world. a world that's filled with darkness and sin. And folks, we need to get in the book. Get in the Word of God and let the Word of God get in us. Let's make it real today in our lives that we might be able to serve Him and one day stand before Him unashamed because of what He's done for us. We've got so much to be thankful for today. And this week, as you celebrate Thanksgiving, take time to thank God for that book we call the Bible. Amen. Let's thank Him for today. All right, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, thank You for allowing me to finally get through all this lesson. Lord, it's been so good to be in the Word of God. And Lord, I want it to be special to Your people. And Lord, I want it to mean something special to them. Lord, it means everything to You. You gave Your life for us. And Lord, You've given this book for us to live by, to hide its words in our heart, Lord, that we might not sin against You. Help us now, Lord, to hide it and to share it and to just keep it in our hearts, keep it ever before us today, knowing that one day we're going to give account unto You for how we have applied that which we know to be true. Help us, Lord, today to just determine in our hearts we're going to serve You. We're going to live for You. We're going to be thankful for what You've done. We're going to try to do everything we can within our physical and spiritual power, Lord, to keep folks out of hell and get them into heaven. Please now, Lord, bless our pastor as he stands to preach to us today. Be with Brother Howell, Lord, as he prepares to go back to his home there in New Zealand, get the house sold and get back here. I pray, God, that You'll encourage his heart, strengthen him now, Lord, so that he can come back in and do the job that You've given him here to do. Watch over us, and Lord, speak to hearts today. And God will thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.